Hello and welcome. Thank you for joining us here today. I hope that these times are a blessing to you, and I hope that you're having a great day in the Lord and that you're looking forward to hearing from Him in this time here today. I do want to thank Jonathan and Nikki for all that they do to make our times together possible. Without them, this couldn't work, and I'm just so appreciative of them. But you know, more than anyone else, I'm thankful for our Lord. He loves us. He desires us to have a relationship with Him. He's given us His Word. He's made it possible for us to do this together so that we can hear from Him. And so let's go to Him in prayer. Father, thank You so much for the day that You have given to us, Lord, for making it possible for us to be here. Father, we're thankful, O God, for Your Word that You have inspired and preserved. Father, we're thankful, O God, that You desire to speak through Your Word to us. Father, give us an understanding, Father, of the context, Lord, of the message, but also, O God, what You want to talk to speak to each of us about individually. Lord, be with us in this time. Open our minds, our hearts, our ears. O Lord God, let us know You better than we've ever known You before. Let us experience You. Let us be filled by You, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm sure all of us have some type of an agenda for today. Yours may be very extensive, may be calendared. You may have many things that you have to get done, or you may have just a few items, a few chores that you want to accomplish. But all of us have some things that we want to see done today and that we're probably right in the middle of doing, and maybe have just taken a break or maybe haven't quite gotten started on those things yet, but we all have an agenda. And the amazing truth is, as we read God's Word, we find out that He has an agenda. He has an eternal agenda, things that He wants to accomplish. And as we look at Psalm 67, which I accidentally skipped over last week and went to Psalm 68, but as we look at Psalm 67, we see God's agenda for eternity. We see the promises or the prophecies about what it will be like when our Lord returns and establishes His kingdom. And yet when we stop and we think about it, if those things are what God wants to be taking place then, and today leads to that day, well then today ought to mirror that. And so God's agenda for eternity is also seen in His agenda for today. And also as believers, those of who know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, it ought to be our desire that our agenda for the day actually mirrors His agenda. And the fact is that we allow His agenda to set ours. And so that leads us then to ask ourselves the question, what exactly is God's agenda for eternity, but today is part of eternity, and so that we will see how to plan our agenda? Well, as we read over Psalm 67, we see that first of all, on God's agenda, the first item is for His salvation to be known. Look what we see in verses 1 and 2. God be gracious to us and bless us, and cause His face to shine upon us, that Your way may be known on the earth, and Your salvation among all the nations. Again, it's prophetic, looking forward to that day when our Lord, in fact, does return, establishes His kingdom, fulfills all of His promises and covenants and prophetic words to the nation of Israel. And you think about how that speaks of God's wonderful salvation for them. After all that they have been through because of their own sin, and quite honestly, the worst is yet to come in that period we refer to as the tribulation period, that 7 years of judgment that followed the Lord's rapture of His church out of this world. And yet we notice when we look at this, that it will be to the praise and honor and glory of God when He, in fact, returns and does deliver them. His salvation of them, it's motivated only by His love, it's accomplished only by His grace, and it's worked out only because of His faithfulness to His people. But you know, the same thing can be said about we who know Christ at this time, who are believers. You think about how we ought to make His salvation known. You think about the wonderful salvation that we have been brought into, motivated only by His love, accomplished only by His grace, and kept only by His faithfulness. It ought to be our desire to make His salvation known. In fact, He's made it very clear that He wants that to be our agenda. You think of what we see in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, where it says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." And so it ought to be the first thing on our agenda that as we're going in the various places and that God takes us to and the directions He takes us to, that we seek to make disciples. And you know, as we come to the time of the year when we celebrate and we remember the birth of our Lord who came to live, die, and rise again for our sins, how this really ought to be upon our mind and our heart. That if He so loved us enough that He was willing to send His Son here, and He's commissioned us, in fact, to make His Son known, that we ought to have be about that agenda. And so, believer, are you seeking to share the gospel message? It is God's agenda for His salvation to be known. But now, could it possibly also be that even as you listen to this, that perhaps you've never personally received that salvation, that you've never personally trusted Christ as your Savior? You know, the first item on God's agenda would be for you to personally come to know Christ as your Lord and Savior. He's the only way for your sins to be forgiven. He's the only way to avoid eternity in hell. He's the only way into reconciliation with Himself. He's the only way into adoption as His child. He's the only way to eternal life with Him. Could it be that you need to place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, personally experience His salvation, and then be about the business of making that salvation known? But we who are believers, as we go through this day and we plan the items on our agenda, things that we need to do, people we need to see, places we need to go, through all of that, under all of that, and around all of that, and over all of that, needs to be the fact that we're about God's agenda of making His salvation known. And so we see His salvation to be known, but notice we also see, when we talk about God's agenda, His righteousness to rule. Look at verses 3 through 5. "Let the peoples praise You, O God. Let all the peoples praise You. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For You will judge the peoples with uprightness and guide the nations on the earth. On that day when our Lord returns and He establishes His kingdom, all sin will be dealt with. All unrighteousness will in fact be put down. All rebellion will be put down. And His righteousness will rule and reign." And remember, everything that God's doing is leading to that day. That means this day leads to that day. And as you and I live in this day, it ought to be our agenda to see that agenda move toward the ultimate fulfillment that takes place in that day. In other words, we ought to seek to live by His righteousness. You think about in your own personal life, the decisions you make, the actions that you undertake, the words that you speak. Are you seeking for His righteousness to rule over you? You think about the various settings that you're in. Do you seek to live by God's righteousness? You think about at work. Are you seeking, in fact, for His righteousness to be seen and to rule and to reign? You know, I remember several years ago a believer telling me about a situation that was taking place at work, and there were some things that were taking place that were not truly ethical, maybe not even legal, and this particular believer knew about those things, even though they were not, you know, involved in the setting, but knew enough about them to go warn a younger believer who, you know, could very easily have been caught up and ensnared in those things, and told that younger believer that you need to do the right thing. What the more mature believer was talking about was following the righteousness of God in the day-to-day affairs of life. And you think about the situations, the settings you're in right now, decisions that you may be wrestling with, problems you may be facing, maybe temptations at work or anywhere else for that matter. Are you seeking for His righteousness to rule over you and the decisions that you in fact make? Are you seeking to live for Him today? Leads to eternity. Today is in fact part of eternity, and God wants us to let His righteousness rule in us as we long and pray for the day when He will return and establish His righteousness throughout the earth. We need to be about His agenda for His righteousness to rule. But then look at the last item that we see, at least in this psalm, about God's agenda. We see His name feared. That is that awesome, deep respect for who God is, for Him to be honored and glorified, for there to be an adoration, awestruck at who He is. Look at what we see in verses 6 and 7. The earth has yielded its produce. God, our God, blesses us. God blesses us that all the ends of the earth may fear Him. In other words, God works in our life, and He'll work in that day for His own name to be honored and glorified. You know, that needs to be our agenda now, that we walk in the fear of the Lord. You know, Proverbs 1:7 makes it very clear that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. And it needs to be our desire as we, again, make decisions, undertake actions, that everything we do is for the glory of God. We're told in 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether we eat or drink, do all to the glory of God. What is he talking about there? That God's name, and by name we mean His very person. Remember in the scriptures, especially in the Old Testament, a person's name equated with their character. So when you talk about God's name, you're in essence, in reality, you're talking about God Himself, that He would be feared, respected. You think about how you're living your life right now, today, the circumstances that you went through, have already gone through today, or that agenda that you're planning out. Is God's honor and glory, His righteousness being seen, honored, and respected based upon what you're doing? We need to live so that God is in fact feared, so that He is honored and respected in our lives. You know, it's very easy for us when we get up in the morning, or even, you know, halfway through a day, or maybe toward the end of the day, think, okay, it's just another day. We made it through this, and we're, you know, ho-hum, another day. We need to remember the eternal significance of every day. This day is part of eternity. This day leads to eternity. And as we think about our agenda, we need to make sure that it mirrors God's agenda and that His agenda sets ours. That we do, in fact, want to see His salvation known, His righteousness to rule, His name to be feared. In all the items on our agenda, all the things we have to do, the things we want to do, we need to make sure that through all of that, God's agenda is accomplished. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, we thank You for this day. And, O Lord, as we go through this day that You've given to us, Lord, may we, by Your grace and Your strength, fulfill Your agenda for this day. Father, these big items, but also the little things, but Father, may Your agenda be fulfilled in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.